sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins.
Well, good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Becky.
Well, I just want to thank all you guys that tune in. I talk to you sometimes during the week and people go, oh, yeah, I've heard your show. Get up early on a Saturday on the way to a ball game or something and listen to you. So I want to just appreciate you guys for that.
And if you ever miss a show and you want to go back and listen to, or if you have a friend or neighbor who you would say, hey, you need to listen to this, you can go to about anywhere that there is podcast. That's through iTunes, through iHeartMedia. Just look up Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, or you can put in Becky Ivins. It'll pop up that way. Hit subscribe, and you can listen through that way. Our special guest this week is one of our money men from SWBC, Matt McLean. Money, money,
money, money. NMLS number
1197740.
Well, good morning. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Good morning to you.
Well, you know, I love it when you guys get back from sort of your mid-year company meeting, the SWBC guys, and you're always in the top percentage, so you get to go to like a president's circle thing, and you get a lot of great information about the market.
Yeah, we do, and it's hard to believe we're midway through the year, but you know, if you're like me, the media tends to paint this doom and gloom in terms of our industry, and that's not even close to the truth. Things are going very, very well. Yeah, we're dealing with a little bit higher interest rates, but the opportunity is significant. And I want to talk about some of those things that were kind of takeaways for Dean and I.
Well, let's delve right into it. Who's buying houses now?
Well, the prediction is this millennial generation are, which is a sizable generation, but they're going to aggressively pursue the first-time home buying opportunities in the next couple of years. Really, it's started. That trend has begun, but it's going to continue through 2024 and into 2025. At least that's what the experts are telling us.
Oh, well, sometimes those experts, right? I do think we're going to see a lot of first-time home buyers enter the market that have not, at a very much later age what is typical.
I think the age category that they gave us was in the mid-30s, 33 to 36 category.
Yeah. So, and usually that's like your second or third house.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So there'll be first-time home buyers that do that. Is there any special money for them?
There is. And, you know, I love talking about this subject because it's a big part of the reason why we do what we do. There's nothing more rewarding and fulfilling than helping a first-time home buyer purchase their home. But SWBC, we partner with an agency that is headquartered here in Oklahoma City. By the name of Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency, OFA. They've got a great website. So if you're out there and you're contemplating or considering buying a home, it's a great, great reference tool. But I would also encourage you to utilize Dean and I and certainly Becky and Mark and their team. But two really, really good programs. So I'm going to start with one that is called the Gold Program.
Okay.
And the Gold Program is it's you have to be a first-time home buyer. And they define first-time home buyer as can't have owned a home within the last 3 years. So if you fit into that category, then you might fit into the Gold Program. But there are other qualifications for the Gold. Probably the second biggest qualification is there's income limits. And it's by county. It's 115% of the median income. So to give you an example, if you were purchasing a home in Oklahoma County, your income limit, if it's a two-person household, and this is household income, Mark, so even if the spouse isn't on the loan, we still have to consider their income. But that income for a two-person household is $85,300 combined. If it's three or more, that jumps up to 98,000.
Does it matter if there's seven?
If there are
seven people in the household?
It doesn't, but what we will have to consider is whether or not they have income.
Okay.
And that, you know, you might have a child that's on disability or something like that and receives income, then we would have to include that income.
Okay. So that surprises folks sometimes,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
So, and on the different counties, it's different amounts.
It is.
Different percentage, or it's the same
percentage. It's 115% of the median income for that county.
For the county.
But it is available in all 77 counties. So I can tell you the major metro counties around Oklahoma County all fall into that category that I just mentioned as far as income qualification.
Okay, so Canadian, Cleveland.
Right.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good. So those are the two main things is income limitation. And you have to be a first-time home buyer or not have owned a home for 3 years.
That is correct.
And how do they find out if you've owned a home for 3 years?
We will go back and we look at tax returns for the last 3 years. So if there's some filing related to, for instance, interest income, then that would be a flag.
Oh, yeah, there you go. If you deduct interest off your income tax, right?
Now, there are typical loan qualifications. So the majority of the Gold program that we do are FHA loans, although it's also available on VA and available on conventional and USDA. But I would say a high, high percentage fall into the FHA or VA loan category.
Okay. And now is there a first-time money available
yeah,
for
there is good question, and that's the benefit of the program. OFA, Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency, will contribute up to 3.5% of the what we refer to as base loan amount, but that can go towards your down payment or that can go towards your closing costs. Typically, if you're doing an FHA loan, then that covers your 3.5% down payment requirement. If you're doing a VA loan, that will cover a chunk of your closing costs. Yeah. And if you have Becky or Mark negotiating your contract, you know, you might get some seller concessions and you're buying a home for limited to no out-of-pocket expense.
Right. Which has been kind of hard to do lately with the market, with the sellers having so many buyers interested in buying their homes that they've been spoiled and they've not had to pay closing
right.
costs.
And I'm sure you guys can confirm this. Certainly something new to the market, it's a big challenge to get seller concessions or right. sellers to pay closing
We're seeing
costs.
Those now.
Yeah, and we're also seeing homes on the market a little bit longer, I think, than what we did. So
right.
those that have sat for whatever reason, again, this I'm getting into your lane, but there might be a better opportunity to get seller concessions.
Right, for sure.
I think this is the housing market is one of the most clear cut. It is supply and demand. Like it is really clear that if you have more buyers out there than sellers, then sellers can pick their favorite buyer. And if you have more sellers out there than buyers, the buyer has to negotiate more on the sell side of things. Now, with this Gold program, Matt, one of the things that so in the 3.5% they use, can they use it to buy down points or is it used in just down payment and closing
costs?
Yeah,
it can be used towards down payment and or closing costs, which would include discount points. Well, let me back up here, Mark. That's not correct. That was inaccurate. Under the Gold program, OFA, Oklahoma Housing Finance mm-hmm. Agency, sets the interest rate. Okay, and I want to talk about that on this program because
well,
it's a great rate today. They set the interest rate. Lenders like SWBC has the option of charging a 1% origination fee. We consciously made the decision that we're not going to charge that. Why? Because they're first-time home buyers. Sometimes you have limited funds to finance or to put towards
yeah.
closing costs. So we intentionally don't charge that 1% origination fee.
Hmm.
So the 3.5, again, down payment and your closing costs,
yeah.
not discount points. So,
what is the interest rate?
The interest rate, I looked it up this morning, the interest rate on the Gold program is 6.75.
So that's is lower than typical.
Which is a half a point below what the market is today.
My first loan I ever got was 6.75. And I thought, man, this was a fantastic. I mean, it was, I was so excited to be in the sixes. It was like Christmas.
Right. Well, it's really a good, good rate in today's market.
Yeah.
And they adjust like any other mortgage interest rate.
Where does the money come from that goes, the OHFA money?
Yeah. I don't want to get, you know, too into the weeds because I may say something that isn't correct, but they sell bonds. So
right.
That's how they generate their revenue. And, you know, there used to be, you can probably remember that when they issued funds for the assistance, it would expire or it would go away or be used up very, very quickly.
Yes.
We don't have that issue today. There are funds available. Frankly, we haven't dealt with that issue in years.
How many times have you written a contract and tried to get it to the lender to get on that bond money list? So there's a lot more to talk about.
We'll be back with more with Matt McLean here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're here with Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. And Matt, we've been talking about the GOLD program from the Oklahoma Housing, OFCFA, OFA.
Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency, right.
Yep. But they have another program that's called the DREAM.
They do, yeah. So this would be their second first-time homebuyer program, and they refer to it as the DREAM. Probably the biggest two differences are what we talked about initially under the GOLD program, and that is under this program there is not a first-time homebuyer requirement. And secondly, the income limit increases to $150,000 household income.
No matter how many people are in it.
No matter what county you're in.
Correct.
That is the other one changed from county
to county. All 77 counties, it's $150,000.
Okay. So it's income limit per household, but still that's well within the median.
Right.
A little bit above median. But how about the interest rate?
The interest rate's a little bit higher. I looked at it this morning as well. So today that interest rate was 7.25. So a difference of a half a percent.
And it changes. That interest rate changes from time to time.
Very much like our interest rates or the mortgage industry interest rates, they post a new rate every morning.
Well, this one, the main thing about this is there's an income limit. And it's market rate, pretty much, interest rate.
Right, right.
You don't have to be a first-time home buyer, but you still get your 3.5% free money that can just be yours to use for down payment.
Right. Down payment or closing costs, that's correct.
Okay. Well, does that mean that you have to pay part of that back?
Good question. That is probably the most significant change that OFA's made in the last several years. So I don't know the exact date, but I think it was within the last probably 6 to 12 months. They went from it being a grant to now it is a silent second mortgage. So it is on their title. It is part of their loan. They don't make payments on it. But if they decide to sell that property or they decide to refinance that property, then that loan will have to be paid.
Is it kind of like if you've lived there 3 years, you only have to pay 2/3 of it back, or what happens?
No, it's the entire outstanding balance that will have to be paid back.
And it travels for the 30-year mortgage? That second mortgage stays on there?
It stays on there as long as they own the property.
So it basically,
or have that loan,
is a free interest loan.
It is.
Basically.
Yeah. Right. Right.
So where you can get the money now but not even have to pay interest on it.
Correct.
Right.
But at some point,
eventually you pay out of the equity of the home is kind of probably the thought process.
Right. If you're selling. If you refinance, that loan will have to be included in in the balance
in the refinancing of it.
Okay, that is a big difference. Now, the gold program is still a grant, right?
No, it actually is not, but there is a recapture that the gold program will calculate.
Okay, and that usually means about 5 years.
Right.
You own your house about 5 years, and then that grant is forgiven.
Correct.
But if you sell your house after 3 years, and you still have to pay part of that back.
Correct.
But maybe not all of it.
Right.
It's a
right.
proration
that
of
is
sorts.
Correct.
Okay, well, those are great programs.
Those are great, yeah. You know, and one of the things that when during the pandemic and things were going over market price, first-time home buyers were oftentimes priced out because they did not have the cash in order to make an offer that was above
right.
what an appraisal would be. And so I saw a lot of first-time home buyers kind of throw their hands up and kind of went to the side.
That's why they're going to get in the market.
That's why
they have not
right.
been in the
they
market.
They have not been in the market, and they tried. And right. had a hard time.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We did not see the first-time home buyer programs with Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency like we're seeing today.
Right. So, but the qualification's still very much the same. Debt-to-income ratio, you have to have show job history.
Yeah, great question, Becky. I'm glad you brought that up. So let's talk about credit score.
Okay.
The minimum credit score under both programs, the Gold and the Dream, is a 640.
Ah.
So if you're below a 640, then that's a hard stop. You would not qualify for this program.
So you have to be responsible.
You have to have good credit.
Yeah. Which is good.
Right.
So I mean, typical low point for FHA, the lowest that you do for an FHA is what credit score?
Yeah, so today we're going down to a 580 on our FHA loans.
So with this program, you have to be above the minimum.
Got to be way above the minimum
yeah.
at a 640. And credit score also dictates the debt-to-income ratio. So if you're between a 640 and a 680, the max debt-to-income ratio is 45%. If you're above a 680, we can go up to 50% debt-to-income ratio.
Now, that's all your debt, including your house payment.
All your monthly revolving debt, including the new housing payment.
Doesn't necessarily – it's not your bills, like your utility bills
no,
and stuff.
No,
that's
it,
what
it
your
would,
other half –
your revolving debt, so credit card debt, car payment debt.
Does, like, student debt, medical debt, is how – all gifts rolled into that?
It is. You know, a lot of people think, you know, through the pandemic, a lot of the loans were, I don't want to say suspended. But
hardship.
But, yeah, they weren't making payments
yeah.
on them. Well, that's been lifted. But even during that time, we still had to count
it's still debt.
A percentage of that debt toward their debt-to-income ratio. Today, it's 0.5% of the outstanding balance.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't a lot.
No, that's not a lot.
And that's a fairly recent change, too, with FHA. That dropped from 1% to 0.5%.
How about VA?
VA's 0.5% and conventional's 1% on student loan
on
debt.
On student loan debt.
Right.
Okay. So you count like 1% of the outs as like a what the payment would be?
That's right. That's correct.
Oh, so if you owe $100,000,
yeah, let's
well, yeah. you're not going to qualify. But let's. But if you owe $10,000 on student debt, then your payment's going to be like $100 a month, or
correct.
So, or thereabouts,
right?
$80, $100
right.
a month. Okay, that's good.
Yep, yep. So, what is the biggest thing you're seeing as far as? People who are starting this program, where do they need to start? They need to start by going – somebody's going, man, my cousin, friend, son, daughter really needs – should they go to you first or should they go to the website and through OFA?
Yeah. I mean, if we get a phone call, for instance, or perhaps you refer a client to us, we encourage them to visit the website. But more importantly, we encourage them to come in. Let us sit yeah. down. Let us review the program. Let us review the guidelines. Let's talk about the pros and the cons of this loan program and what the assistance can do for you. So you know, we can have that conversation over the phone. We prefer to sit down with people, but we'll do it either way.
Because it sounds like one of those things that you're going to sit there and go, this is an option on a spreadsheet. You can go conventional loan like this, FHA loan like this, gold program, it means this, but it sits as a second silver.
So,
here's where it sits.
You know, Dean and I have said this before on the show. We very much view ourselves as advisors. So it's up to us to lay out all the programs that are available to them, answer questions, and let them make an educated decision.
That's why we love having you here. We'll be right back after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Hart, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guest, Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. And it is time for our word of the day.
Come on, baby, tell me what's the word. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway.
Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, I think we should use inflation today because it definitely...
Boy, that's a word you're hearing a lot.
Yes, it is. And as it refers to the real estate market, which is what Matt McLean's going to tell us about, but it's a general increase in prices and the fall in the purchasing power of the money that you have. So kind of a rate of increase in prices over a given period of time, inflation. So,
yeah, it's a word that we hear quite often. A couple of takeaways that I wanted to mention from our meeting and from our team is, number one, and you know, we live this, but the real estate industry, which includes real estate buying and selling, includes the financing side of it, also new construction, that accounts for 16% of our U.S. economy. I mean, that's significant. Yeah. Almost, well, it is double digits at 16%. So, you know, when things begin to slow down a little bit, I don't know that we'll ever see what we experienced in 20 and in 21, but you know, it definitely has slowed down a little bit this year, but 16% of our economy, and we're beginning to see some improvement. So to address inflation, right? We were dealing with 9% inflation rates. I think last month it was reported that inflation had dropped to 3%. Now, it's my understanding that the Fed, the Federal Reserve, who's been raising interest rates, right, at a pretty aggressive rate, they want to see inflation around that 2% range, maybe 2.5%. So we're really, really close to that. And that's partly why the experts and our team believes that we're going to be there probably August, September-ish. And then, if that's the case, we won't see rate increases, and we should start to see interest rates either stay the same, but it's predicted that mortgage rates are going to begin to come down maybe fourth quarter or early first quarter of 2024.
So rest up now, Mark, because real estate comes back. That's what I always tell my team is, if you get a week that is really kind of slow, take advantage. Take your family to a movie, go do a game night somewhere, because it always comes back,
right,
and with a fury.
Right.
And then you've got more to do than you possibly can,
right,
get done.
Right. And you know, the message, I think, also, Becky, is that, you know, for those that have pushed back on rate and I'm not going to do anything because rates are too high, well, if you were to do something today and rates were to come down after the first of the year, then you simply refinance to a lower rate. Right. Don't let that be a primary blocker in buying that home of your dreams.
Yeah, because they also could go up.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's a real thing. Well, tell us some of the other things that you your takeaways from your mid-year meeting.
Yeah, so we talked about rate of inflation. Here's some interesting statistics. And, you know, we talk about opportunity and again, if you believe what the media is telling us, you'd think there's zero opportunity and it's doom and gloom. So this is nationally, right? So it's not local, but home equity, the equity in homes has hit its highest amount ever at $27 trillion.
Wow.
So people are sitting on equity. The home they own today, they have equity. Now, of that $27 trillion, this is very, very interesting. 39% of homeowners own their home free and clear today. They don't have a debt against their home.
See, that's amazing to me.
29% have 50% or greater equity in their home. And then 32% is less than 50% equity. Hmm. So, you know, those that are sitting and waiting and you know, they have leverage. They have equity in their home.
Well, there's also, I hear this a lot, quite a bit of people going, well, I'm going to wait for prices to come down. That's what, and one of the things that I think this is there hasn't been foreclosures for several years, really significant numbers of foreclosures, but there's, because prices have increased, there's so much equity in people's houses, there's not necessarily going to be a ton of foreclosures because there's value in homes.
Right. Right.
Right. You find very, well, like you say, 32%, less than a third of the people owe more than 50% on their homes. So that's a pretty incredible number.
It is. It's almost hard to believe. But and another takeaway that has to do with this is, you know, a lot of times you'll hear that, you know, we're headed towards a housing crash. And at least the experts in our team, we're nowhere close to a housing crash. I mean, homes continue to appreciate, correct?
Yep.
Right.
There continues to be a shortage. Is that fair? Shortage of homes on the market?
Yes, there's definitely a shortage.
Yeah. So we're not in the same market that we were in, what, in 2005, 6, 7? Nowhere close.
Recent history, we've not had this scenario to where folks are sitting on property that's paid for.
Right.
Yeah.
Property that they only owe half on. And if you owe money on it, 7 out of 10 times, it's about 3.5% or less on your interest rate. So the stagnation in the market could be a good thing because people are making wise decisions and not dumping their 3% loan to go get a 7% loan just because they want to.
Right. And to your point, I've got some numbers on what you just mentioned, Becky. So those that have loans today, and again, this is nationally, a rate of below 6%, 91% of homeowners fall into that category. 6% or below.
Right.
Okay, now let me keep going. 5% or below, 82%.
Wow.
That's staggering, isn't it? And then you get to below 4%, 62%. So, yeah, I mean, that is certainly, we hear that. You know, I've got a 3.5% rate. I just can't justify going to a 7% rate. But, you know, life happens, right?
Well,
you get married, you have children.
I'll tell you,
you outgrow your home.
The perfect scenario right now is if you are a person that has a big house, that it's harder and harder for you to keep up because you don't like to manage hiring someone to mow, hiring someone to paint, hiring someone to clean the gutters, and the electric bill's high and your taxes keep going up. Perfect time to downsize on a home. The perfect time.
Take advantage of that equity.
Well, you get all that equity, and you're likely to be able to just go buy a house outright, newer house.
Right.
This doesn't take as much to keep up a newer house. Utility bills are less on newer properties because the insulation is different.
Insurance may be less. You said, property taxes will likely be less.
Well, property taxes will be, less than the big house maybe, but there'll be more. You can always count on taxes being more. But it's just the best time to get rid of the big house and to get yourself into something easy to manage.
Agree.
We'll be right back with more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian and in Yukon on Route 66. So our smoking hot deal this week is your special smoking hot deal. Let me tell you how to create this. If you go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings, you can create what would be your ideal home. You can pick the number of beds, the number of baths, the price category you want to be in, and then you can map it out to a school district. You can map it out to a certain neighborhood. You can put in a zip code or multiple zip codes, and you will get notified when that particular, when a home that comes up with your criteria, it'll pop right into your email box and you'll be able to see it the moment it comes on the market. So you can create your own special smoking hot deal by going to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings. We have a lot of people that do this that just love it. They just keep track.
When there's no real obligation, we will call you and ask you if we can help, like tweak it for you a little bit. Are you getting the listings that you're interested in?
Mm-hmm.
You might just be wanting to look. I'll tell you what a lot of really smart people do. They will set up a search for their own house to see what else comes up, like thinking about putting their house on the market mm-hmm. so that they can see kind of what things are selling for in their own neighborhood. That's kind of a smart way to use that.
That's a great way to use that. And maybe you're someone like when Becky was talking about downsizing to that special house, you're going, well, you know what? If the right one came along, what you need to do is put that criteria, then talk to us, because sometimes that comes on without going on to the market. We know it's coming beforehand.
These off-market properties that get sold before you ever get to look at them, be in the know.
Because we have people that go, oh, if I would have known that was going to be, I would have been ready, because that is just the ideal. It's sitting on a pond. It's, you know, just some kind of special that they want to be there.
Right.
Just talk to us.
So, there's a lot to creating your own little smoking hot deal. So we invite you to do that. Okay, Matt McLean, we are here and we are talking about buying on basically first-time home buyers is what we started with.
Right.
How much money do you have to get in as a down payment to get into a house? Now, I know it's different for different loan amounts, but and then we'll ask, where can the money come from?
Right. Yeah, it is. And, so many people, particularly first-time home buyers, think that you have to have a sizable down payment, like 10 or 20% down payment. You have to have a significant amount of money to put towards closing costs, and not always true. But and that's why we really encourage people to come in and let us go over the options and make them as knowledgeable as possible. But in answer to your question, it is by loan type. So, if you're a veteran and you qualify for VA benefits, your down payment is 0%. If you're buying in a certain part of Oklahoma and you would qualify for a USDA loan, their down payment is 0%. But typically, on a conventional loan, for instance, their minimum down payment is a 3%, But there are, again, kick-in income guidelines and things like that. So typically we see a 5% down payment on conventional loans. Not always. 3% is an option, and we would look at that. And then on your FHA loan, the down payment requirement is 3.5%.
So, okay. Where can the money come from?
Yeah, so it can come from what we talked about, right? OFA, the loan, the bond loan programs, or the closing cost assistance programs. We evaluate assets. So what do they have in terms of liquid assets? And that typically is bank information, checking, savings, 401k. But another option, which is I think where you're going, Becky, is that gift funds. We refer to gift funds, and that is where a relative, must be related, will gift you funds.
So if you're lucky enough to be my grandchild, right?
Right.
I could give you your down payment.
You sure could.
To get you into a home.
That's right.
Which I think would be a very good investment in young folks.
That's how we purchased our first home, and we see it a lot with first-time homebuyers.
Right.
Whether it be a wedding gift or anniversary gift, something like that, where it's typically parents, right? Not always, but typically are gifting funds to help with either down payment or closing costs.
How about if a boss decides to give you a bonus or something?
That would count as well. It depends on how that is given. So companies can make gifts to employees, right? There's
right.
no expectation of payback. If it's truly a bonus payment, then we get into having to prove a history of that bonus payment. So may or may not be able to use it. It's if they've received them before. It's and if there is the likelihood of some continuance of receiving that bonus. But a company can make a gift to an employee for housing assistance.
What if you have a tractor you want to sell?
If you have a tractor you want to sell, and that happens, people do have certain assets. Dean tells a great story about a client, but I won't go into it. But they had a boat, and really, they didn't think they were going to qualify, and then they just brought it up in conversation. Well, you know, we ought to go ahead and sell the boat. And Dean's, you know, okay, stop. You have an asset you can sell? Yes. The only thing is get a bill of sale, and we need to be able to track the sale of that asset.
Get the title, copy the title,
right.
The person accepting the title, so that there is a paper trail of what happens.
Right, exactly. Right. Paper trail.
How about a real lucky trifecta at the track?
You know, as long as we can document it, as long as we can trace the funds, then you bet, you know. Maybe they'll win the lottery tonight. Who knows?
Yeah, there you go. Well,
Becky winning a trifecta at Remington would be a sight to see.
Yeah, it would be.
I got a question, Matt, about like a gift. So if you're getting a gift from a family member, and is it have to be, I don't know, trackable? Like if somebody hands you a pile of hundreds, it like do you have to track where that money
comes
from?
Yeah, we do. There's definitely a process and a documentation trail that we have to establish. So what typically happens is whoever making that gift, we're going to look at their bank account prior to making that gift. We want to see the funds in their bank account. And then they have a couple of options. They can gift into their son or daughter, son-in-law's bank account, mm-hmm. and we'll see it in their bank account, or they can write a check to the title company for the gift amount, and it goes directly to the title company.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, right there is where you run into trouble sometimes. When it's grandma and grandpa giving the money instead of the parents, older people don't want to be checked out. They do not want to provide you with 3 months' bank statement showing that
right.
money's been in their bank account.
No, you're right.
And that sometimes
can
be a problem.
Absolutely.
So you just have to know. It's kind of like when someone co-signs on a loan. Well, they have to qualify just as though they were qualifying themselves.
Correct.
And you get resistance
yes.
on that sometimes.
A little bit of pushback sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the part. I know it always surprises. And when you look at that, you have to look at the whole of the account. Is that correct? not just that money.
Yeah, it's not a screenshot. It's not a one-page shot. When we look at bank statements, we want every single page of the bank statement.
Even the blank pages.
Even the blank.
And the reason for that is that historically a lot of people has used homes for money laundering has been used. Is that correct? That's really kind of what they're looking for.
Flat out
we
fraud.
Had a whole program on that FinCEN thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very cautious. If you want to reach out to Matt McLean, Dean Riddell, SWBC Mortgage, the number is 405-858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com. You'll see them right at the top at Becky's Favorites. Matt McLean, thank you so much for being
with us. Thank you very much, Matt.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you next week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.
Lord, always watch over you, and may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true.